Cutting Audio.
A chunk of burning plastic the size of a softball sailed past the middle-aged scientist's lowered head.
Damn it!
Smaller objects, bits of concrete, shards of metal and rock, pelted Dr. Hutt's arms and legs as he struggled down the middle of the street under the terrible weight that lay upon his shoulders. A weight that bent his back to the breaking point and made his thighs tremble.
Shit!
Seven levels below the surface of the planet, in the swirling smoke of open trash fires, a mob packed the crumbling sidewalks and spilled onto the potholed roadway.
Die, Wendell, die! Die, Wendell, die!
This was Gloomtown. Neither the light of day nor the dark of night penetrated here. Mercury vapor lamps, caged in the ceiling, cast a perpetual sulfurous pall over its squalor and suffering. In Gloomtown, there were no police, no emergency services, and there was no way out, alive or dead. As Dr. Huth advanced along the mob's gauntlet, grinding out one shaky step after another, tears flowed down his cheeks. Everything he'd ever done in his remarkable scientific career, he had done for them. Not for them individually, or even for them as a social class, but them, as in for the survival of humanity. The survival of Dr. Huth's species had become an issue shortly after the turn of the second millennium A.D., when the long, sputtering population bomb had finally gone thermonuclear. Now, less than a century later, the planet was supporting 100 billion people, and the rationing of food to the multitudes had become the all-consuming task of science and the one-world government known as Five. Because of the shortage of available food, economic, social, and political control teetered on the verge of global collapse. Dr. Huth and the other top scientists of Five were like white-coated little Dutch boys sticking their fingers in a massively leaking dike. Their desperate measures had produced unforeseen and disastrous consequences. Several structural levels down, a few hundred yards directly below Dr. Huth's feet, was the border of the Slime Zone, a vast area of the megalopolis made uninhabitable by an invasion of agricultural bacteria, the result of a failed attempt to solve the food problem. In computer simulation, the genetically altered cyanobacteria had looked like a perfect answer to the crisis. They were fast breeding, required no maintenance, and were an inexhaustible source of easily digestible protein. Outside Five's biotech laboratories, they'd proved themselves all of that, and more. Once actual cultivation began, despite the protective measures put in place, the tailored bacteria quickly escaped deep-level slime farms and began to swallow up the lower sections of the megacity, block by block. All efforts to turn them back and to reclaim lost territory had failed. The protein-rich bacteria were no longer even harvested for fear of spreading the contamination. Because of Gloomtown's proximity to the slime zone, its residents lived under constant threat of suffocation. When the bacterial spores were inhaled, they bloomed in the lungs, rapidly filling them with their wet weight. Only the atmosphere's condensation layer, a band of land fog at level 8, kept the slime at bay. If the climate fluctuated so much as a few degrees, Gloomtown would be enveloped by floor-to-ceiling drapes of smothering green slunk. The cyanobacteria weren't the only lethal white coat-created hazard Gloomtowners faced daily. Equally deadly was the carnifage, an escaped biotech mill weapon. When inhaled, it ate a person from the inside out, stripping flesh from bone. The carnifages remained dormant in rivers and lakes for most of their life cycle. But during their reproductive phase, clouds of them were carried on the wind, eating and killing every animal in their path. When the megacity's warning sirens announced an impending bloom of carnifages, the people of Gloomtown packed themselves into windowless rooms and closets and sealed the doors with rags and dirt. Those caught outside were found after the all-clear, their bones picked clean, plastic bags or trash cans pulled over their heads. On the upper levels of the city, for the convenience of Five's CEOs, its white coats, and its white-collar support staffs, there were ample, roomy, phage-proof shelters. How the carnophages had gotten loose in the environment was still a mystery. Some claimed Five's Population Control Service had released them on purpose to slow the growth of the unemployable class. Five stood for the five global conglomerates who, after the big shakedowns of the 90s, had by treaty divided up the rights to exploit the remaining resources of the Earth. Those four capital letters were stitched in crimson above the breast pocket of Dr. Huth's lab coat. In the boardrooms of the Globals, Huth was a very important man, considered a genius comparable to, if not surpassing, Newton, Einstein, and Watson and Crick. As director of the totality concept, he had shifted the focus of its most advanced research program from time trawling, the dragging of objects or persons from the past or future to the present, to the creation of a passageway between parallel universes. Using Operation Kronos technology as a foundation, he'd succeeded in establishing a corridor between nearly identical alternate existences, between his Earth and another, which had come to be known as Shadow World. After sending robot drones, then a human exploration team through the passage, Dr. Huth had discovered that the event horizons of the twinned Earths had permanently diverged on January 20, 2001, when an all-out nuclear exchange had devastated Shadow World. Though its human population had been nearly wiped out, the catastrophe had left many of its natural resources intact, which presented a simple, elegant solution to his own Earth's problems. Colonize Shadow World and relieve the population pressure by moving selected, qualified people to the new resources. It was nothing less than a second chance for the human race, which was nothing but unappreciated in some quarters. Under a hail of rocks and burning trash, the tall, lanky scientist strained to keep it moving forward with burden. Perhaps the Gloomtowners had correctly concluded that they wouldn't be invited to partake of Shadow World salvation. Perhaps that was the reason for this horrible mistreatment. If so, it was typically selfish and short-sighted of them.